morning. It's Maryland Morning on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cast. It's been 5 years since the first casino opened in Maryland, Hollywood Casino in Perryville. Now five are operating, with a sixth casino scheduled to open next year. In recent weeks, the Washington Post and the City Paper in Baltimore have published evidence that the number of problem gamblers has risen with the number of gambling outlets. Evidence like a 30% increase in the number of Gamblers Anonymous chapters in Maryland, as well as a reported increase in the number of people who regularly take part in them. Evidence like police called to casinos four times in 5 months this year to respond to children or seniors left alone in cars while their parents or caregivers were inside gambling. Evidence like a steady increase in calls for help to the state's 1-800-GAMBLER helpline, up to more than 600 calls this past year. All of which raises the question, is Maryland doing enough to help people who can't control the urge to gamble? For some perspective, we're joined on the phone by Lori Rugel, Program Director of the Center for Excellence on Problem Gambling, part of the University of Maryland Medical School. Welcome back to the show, Lori.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Sure. And also with us by phone is Keith White, Executive Director of the National Council on Problem Gambling. Good morning, Keith.
Hi, Sheila. Good morning.
So, Keith, what is the definition of a problem gambler?
Well, it's someone whose gambling has caused them harm to their financial, emotional, and particularly their and it can be even their physical health. You know, it's someone whose gambling has gone from being recreational to a problem to a serious problem. There are other medical definitions or lay definitions, but for us, it's harm caused by gambling that is excessive.
And is it considered an addiction?
Sure, it's been in the medical literature for a long time, and it's been in the American Psychiatric Association's manual since 1980. And it's recently, in the fifth edition of that manual, been more clearly identified as an addiction, as a behavioral health issue.
Lori Rugel, what are the danger signs, the warning signs of a problem in gambling?
Sure, the danger signs are a preoccupation with gambling. Gambling going from social to being more solitary, more secretive, more isolated. Certainly financial problems or financial secrecy. Lying about the extent of gambling to people you care about, letting gambling interfere with your work, with your family, with your relationships, so that gambling becomes exclusively what somebody does to solve their problems, to relieve their discomfort, and to just run their lives.
Keith White, is there an estimate of how many problem gamblers there are in Maryland?
Well, I think I would turn to Lori for that. She's more
okay,
on the ground
Lori
level
Rugel.
There.
Yeah, in a study that was done in 2010, it's estimated that there are over 150,000 problem and gambling disordered adults in Maryland, and an additional 50-some thousand adolescents and kids that may have a problem. So the numbers are large. And nationally, what we see, though, even though we have these large numbers, only less than 0.25% seek help and get treatment. So it's an underdiagnosed, underidentified, stigmatized disorder where people have a lot of difficulty asking for help.
Absolutely.
Lori Rugel, your center, the Center for Excellence on Problem Gambling, runs that 24/7 toll-free helpline I mentioned, 1-800-GAMBLER. What else, briefly, does the center do?
Well, we do all public awareness, so we have campaigns where we have billboards up, TV, radio ads. We show up at health fairs, anything to get the word out to help people recognize the symptoms, know that there's a problem, and know that there is help available. That's the most important thing. We do training for clinicians and prevention specialists all around the state. We oversee the problem gambling treatment referral network, and we have standards for people who want to be in that referral network so we know that they're competent and capable to address this issue. We do prevention in schools and in communities, so anything related to problem gambling as well as research we want to be involved in.
That's Lori Rugel, Program Director for the Center for Excellence on Problem Gambling, part of the University of Maryland Medical School, here on Maryland Morning 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. Also with us by phone is Keith White, Executive Director of the National Council on Problem Gambling. We're talking about what Maryland offers problem gamblers. The funding for the Center of Excellence comes from a levy on the casinos, which was set by the General Assembly, $425 a year for each slot machine, $500 a year per table game. Last year, that brought in just under $4 million to the Casino Problem Gambling Fund. That's not quite one half of 1% of casino revenues. Keith White, do other states levy similar taxes on casinos?
Yes, almost every state that has legalized gambling has placed some sort of special privilege tax on it. And in a lot of cases, it's based on revenue. But in some states, we see it as a share of the lottery's marketing budget or breakage from unclaimed lottery tickets or unclaimed prizes at the track. The per machine sort of per position allotment is a little bit unusual. And I think one of the issues we have is that it certainly doesn't take into account rising gaming revenues. So, you know, that tax, it may make a equal floor, but it doesn't. The ceiling is also fixed. So, I think a fixed pool of revenue to be dedicated to problem gamblers doesn't really respond to the market, doesn't respond to the environment as much as as having a ceiling. Perhaps it would go no lower than this $4 million, but could rise higher as revenue rises. So, I think that many states do something similar. Very few use a per-machine tax.
Well, the other thing apparently that's unusual, the Washington Post reported this week that the levy on casinos for problem gamblers does not cover direct treatment to problem gamblers. Lori Rugel, is that true?
Yes, as far as it goes. I think what we also need to recognize, though, is that there is funding available in the state for treatment in a variety of ways. Through the center, we fund residential treatment, as that was a gap in the system. Medicaid provides funding in many states. Medicaid does not cover gambling disorder, and we're providing some small grants for existing programs within the counties to integrate gambling and problem gambling into their substance use and mental health programs. So, a lot has been done. Certainly more can be done, and we're discussing that and how to remove financial obstacles to people seeking treatment with the Behavioral Health Administration. So we want to keep moving forward, but we want to address the whole picture.
Yeah, because Sheila, I think that's one of the most important things. And as Lori said, Maryland is, you know, trying to build a comprehensive system. But one of the things I think that's unique in this disorder is that, in going back to your last point, the spending on problem gamblers all is coming from gaming revenue. So unlike any other disease or disorder, there's no general health money, there's no general fund money that's going into this, and so that the gambling revenue would be on top of some sort of existing base. And so I think that's one issue there, is that it's solely funded by these taxes. And again, we certainly believe money from gambling revenue should go into this, and we think certainly a lot more of it. But I think the second point, too, is that when you create these systems, it, as Lori says, you absolutely have to integrate it in. But one of the unique issues about problem gambling that we can talk about, you know, a lot more, is that the substance they abuse, if you will, is money. Mm-hmm. So many people that come in seeking help for gambling have lost a lot of money, and so they are more heavily dependent on public supports and less able to access help through traditional means that people with other disorders would use, like private insurance or other means. So I think it's one of the role of money in this addiction, and the fact that that's what the addicts abuse, if you will, is makes it paramount that we think creatively about not just integrating gambling addiction into the behavioral health system, as Laura says, they're doing a very good job of, but making sure that there's additional support. You know, the gamblers should come first in terms of the share of gambling revenue, and making sure that their unique financial needs are addressed.
Well, Lori Rugel, in Maryland's current setup, is the funding for problem gamblers keeping pace with the number of problem gamblers?
Well, you know, I think you know, when you look at the picture, and there's so, as Akee said, so much less funding for gambling. We don't get any federal funding. So we can always, you know, use additional resources, but I think we have to use what we have wisely right now. That's the real key. And look at what we can do with the funding that is available. Certainly the United States in general funds less than other countries around the world, Australia and Canada, for example. So, you know, yes, we can always use more and provide more in terms of awareness, treatment, prevention. But I'm really concerned with making the most of the money we have available and making sure that there's no person in the state of Maryland who has a gambling problem who cannot receive help.
Keith,
and I think it really is important that the financial piece is so critical with gamblers, and removing those financial obstacles so that you can talk about treatment rather than how can I pay for this before a gambler's even had time to get help.
We are flat out of time, and I'm grateful to both of you for giving us some insights into this. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot, Sheila.
Thank you very much.
Keith White is Executive Director of the National Council on Problem Gambling. Lori Rugel is Program Director of the Center for Excellence in Problem Gambling, part of the University of Maryland Medical School. At our website, WYPR.org, we've got more information, including a link to this week's Washington Post piece and to our interview a year ago with Lori Rugel and Mike Rosen, a recovering gambling addict who heads the helpline. Again, the helpline is 1-800-GAMBLER. I'm Sheila Cast. After the news, young refugees from Central America. What's behind them? What's ahead? Stay with us on 88.1.